The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
Welcome. The weekend is over. The new week has begun, and we are delighted you've decided to choose us as opposed to... is there any other choice? I don't think so. Welcome to the show. Let's get ready, and let's start sharing with you some headlines before we get to the guest list, before we get to the phone calls, which is what I cannot wait for. And as we review the weekend, Anthony Richards saying, I have to get better. Yeah, well, he's... Team's got only one loss. They're lucky they don't have three losses as they head to Tennessee. And whoever thought you'd see this headline, Sam Pittman saying Bobby Petrino outcoached him. He also beat him in a Harley race at halftime. But Sam Pittman's very honest. He looked very sincere hugging on Bobby Petrino after the game. That's the first time Petrino's ever hugged somebody who was a superior of his at, well, actually, I got my depth chart wrong. I'm 10 years old in my Arkansas. Meanwhile, John Talty, you've heard of him?
Yeah.
He's saying Auburn should get Lane Kiffin because Brian Harsin isn't the guy. Herm Edwards is fired, should have been never hired. In a complete and total disaster. He had one big win out there. And a multitude of losses, including an NCAA investigation, which is really hard to have these days, but Herm had it. So that leads us to this. Harsin, a name to watch for the Arizona State job? Which agent planted that story? The real problem with firing your coach in September. You still have to pay him. Anyway, when we last saw you, we were in Auburn talking to Brian Harsin.
Sure.
Great conversation and hoping for the best and hoping he had a big weekend. Every imaginable recruit was on the planes as we were talking to you on Friday. On Saturday, they all went to the game and they saw an absolute beat down of epic proportion, and you do have to wonder now what Brian Harsin has left other than Missouri this weekend. Harsin speaking to the media moments ago didn't exactly address the elephant in the room, the one that has a multitude of coaches already in the mix for his job while he tries to save his job on the plains. So what are we going to do? We'll talk to John Talty here in a moment. John's got the insight on that. Kevin Clark. Travis Johnson made a pretty big play for the Gators on Saturday night. We'll talk to him later on.
Nice.
Matt Brown.
Yeah.
And the TOL fellers. Now, I'm not talking about the yellow feller. That's the guy at Auburn. These are the TOL fellas. And your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. You can tell we've already had happy hour here. Let's start with David, who is in Alabama. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you for the call.
Great, great. Thank you for taking my call. I just hope Bama Nation is a little bit happier today than we were last Monday after Saturday. But you know I'm a huge Bama fan, but I want to talk more about Auburn. You said just a few seconds ago about him trying to save his job. Poor old Brian Harsin ought to know that his job he's done. I mean, another loss and he's done. And I can't say that I blame the Auburn folks, Paul. As great a player as Tank Bigsby is, why is he not getting the ball more?
Well, I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that, and I frankly don't care anymore because I agree with you. It's over. Brian Harsin's not going to save his job. Brian Harsin, were he smart, and I think he is smart, would be on the phone with his agent, Russ Campbell, in Birmingham right now saying, get me a buyout, get me out of here. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. And I'd rather not go down in flames like Scott Frost. And ultimately, I think that's what will happen because in one afternoon, I think I dare say he's pretty much lost the Auburn people. I don't mean that in a vicious way. I just mean that in a realistic way. You know, he can beat Missouri this weekend, and it won't make one bit of difference because the big games on the schedule, LSU, Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, it seems unlikely that he can manage those in a way that would convince anybody that he's going to be able to survive. And really, it's the recruiting part of the equation that's the problem. They are so far down in recruiting. The talent level there is below anything I can remember in a long time. And three games into your second season is no time to start saying, you know, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. That time has probably passed. Joe is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Let's get this program started off right. Let's talk about when Nick Saban's going to retire. I've been racking my brain trying to figure this out.
Oh, okay.
And I think I've got it.
Well, we want to hear that.
Okay. Money won't do it. He needs some more prestige. And with all the problems with NIL and the transfer portal, I believe if the powers that be would make him the college football commissioner over all of college football and give him the power to set up the rules and regulations and enforce them, actually he'd be influencing them because he's got a lot of influence.
Well, Joe, I think you're right about that. And if the five commissioners of the Power Five could coalesce and say, you know what, we really need somebody, I think Saban would do that. And it's not a matter of him not wanting to coach anymore. He's still one of the two or three best coaches in the country. But it is a matter of being involved in something that he would be motivated. And I think right now he doesn't have an alternative. Nick Saban doesn't want to sit on the set of a college football show and listen to a bunch of talking heads. I don't think he wants to sit in the booth, analyze plays of coaches that he used to beat to death on the field. I think he wants to do something constructive. That's what brilliant, talented, genius-like people look for when they're moving on from one career to the next. Thank you for the call. Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. Thank you for letting me call in the Jim from Tuscaloosa show. but in all seriousness, I want to start Monday off with gratitude to ESPN. As you know, I'm a Appalachian State alumni, Tennessee fan too, but I wanted to thank them for coming out for College Game Day, and it just goes to show you that college football is not all about like billion-dollar TV deals and realignment and everything else. So I lost a lot of faith over the summer, but I just appreciate ESPN showing up.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. It looked like it was an event. Looked like Appalachian State forgot to take the cue that they have to show up for the game. It took a miracle to win, and they did win, but maybe that made it even better. Butler is up next. Hey, Butler.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today, man?
We're doing great.
You didn't have any of that good Appalachian moonshine while you was up there this weekend, did you?
No, I was in Auburn, unfortunately. I had some of the Yellowwood moonshine.
So I heard you just say something about the recruiting, and I just wanted to call and give this tidbit. And I know you know a whole lot about recruiting, more than my feeble mind will ever be able to comprehend.
Don't be so sure.
But I work, and I'm not going to give any names, but it's a very – I know the guy. He's a great, great friend of mine, and he used to do recruiting at Boise State. And me and him was having the conversation the other day, actually, about Harsin and, you know, what is that process like? Because I wanted to know what it was. And he said bringing recruits to him was the hardest thing that they ever had to do because, of course, it's a vetting process. You know, you show it to the offensive coordinator and it's, oh, this guy might be good. Then it moves down the chain. I've seen text messages. I've seen tweets. Of course, they were actually speaking with Hassan Haskins, who had just got drafted by the Titans out of Michigan. And Harsin was, according to him, and I quote, he said he just didn't like the guy because he didn't talk. And, like, so they, according to him, they were trying to push recruits into Boise. They were trying to get things in there, and he just didn't want them, unless, which I get it, it's his guy. But I feel, I've got a lot of Auburn fans, being an Alabama, or Auburn friends, but being an Alabama fan, it's sad to see them go through this right now, because watching the game Saturday, was hard to watch.
Yeah, you know,
absolutely,
but
hard to watch.
I think Brian Harsin could be a very good coach in the right place. But I just don't think that place is Auburn, and I think he's got a different style, and all the things that are self-evident, you know, being between the two best programs in the country, that's just for starters, and I think Auburn picked up a commitment from a three-star player over the weekend, which I don't know what that guy saw other than he looked down the field Saturday and said, I can play. Beyond, and sometimes that is important. A lot of times that's important. But, you know, to get the kind of players that will change the direction of that program, I think that train probably left the other day. We're talking about Alabama as if it's slipped a few notches because it doesn't have the same level maybe in certain skill positions as it did 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Watching the NFL yesterday, all I saw were Alabama players that used to play for Alabama. You can develop those guys, but ultimately you have to have those players to compete at the highest level, and Auburn is not doing that. We'll take a break. More to come. A lot to talk about over the weekend with games across the board and more of your phone calls right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Georgia lost. Georgia beat South Carolina 48-7. South Carolina snuck a touchdown in as the game was ending. Taylor is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Taylor.
Hey, Paul. I'm one of the biggest Gamecocks fans you'll ever meet. I've been to all the SEC stadiums by age 16, and I go to all the home games. And I'm gonna tell you, Paul, I never left so embarrassed on Saturday. I just was so embarrassed.
So let me ask you a question. Last time South Carolina played a big-time opponent at home was against Clemson, and you lost 30-0. This time it was 48-7. What was the difference?
The difference was the physicality.
So the 30-0 game against Clemson was closer than the 48-7. Is that what you're telling us?
That's what I'm telling you. Yes, sir.
Well, number one, you're playing a much better team, but it's South Carolina under Shane Beamer was still inept, was it not?
Yeah. I just feel like that Shane Beamer is the right guy, and I do not think everyone should abandon ship. But I feel like he needs to find.
Well, Taylor, I need some clarification there. I'm being a tough professor here today.
All right, I
like him too. Don't misunderstand. I'm just trying to get some clarification on, in his last two important home games, he's lost 78-7 to his two biggest rivals, Clemson and Georgia. And you just think it's going to take some time? Is that it?
I think Shane Beamer needs to be here for at least 5 to maybe even 10 years, Paul.
10 years.
We just don't have the horses. You do not have the horses.
I agree. By the way, I totally agree with you. I think you do not have the horses. But he brought in a couple of really key players this year in the offseason, and we were all led to believe it would be different, were we not?
Yeah, but, Paul, I don't drink the Gamecock Kool-Aid like every other Gamecock.
I don't know how you avoid it. They pass it out at every ABC store. Yeah, I mean, I drink it, don't you? It's free.
Well, I drink a little bit. I mean, I thought we did
it's so plentiful that how can you not grab some of it?
Right. Well, I mean, I predicted us to be 7-5, which isn't unrealistic. But
no, I think it's very realistic.
I just don't see us getting bowl eligible at this point with the way everything's gone.
Well, if you're 7-5, you will be bowl eligible. Daryl is up next. Hello, Daryl.
You know what? Hey, look here, dude. You got the right coach, okay? Shane Beamer is the right coach. Don't worry. They said the same thing about Dan Lanning, too. Okay, it's funny how all these teams suddenly become horrible after Georgia blows them out.
You think it's more about Georgia than it is South Carolina?
All right, well, I want to warn you that I told you earlier last week you laughed.
Hey, Daryl, let's get one thing straight I'm trying to have a conversation with you. If you don't calm down, we're not going to have it very long. Number one, okay, new rules on this show. We don't really care what you said last week. We care what you're saying today. If we cared what you said last week, we can go back and listen to that. So what do you have to say today?
What I say today, this is overreaction Monday, right?
It's whatever you want it to be.
Okay, now what you call it? Okay, let's not overreact.
I'm speaking for the audience now. Randy, interrupt me, okay?
We don't need
Daryl calling it. Daryl, I warned you 3 times. You wouldn't shut up. Sorry. I'm running a tight ship today.
Take no prisoners.
I don't need Daryl to tell you and me how he predicted everything last week. If he's Nostradamus, tell him to put his money
in the next week.
Whatever. We don't care about yesterday. We care about today moving forward. And by the way, I'm not one of these guys that needs to be heard, but I would like, when I'm talking to you, I don't really want to have to scream at you. So, Daryl, sorry about that, but I gave you 3 warnings, didn't I?
Yeah, don't disrespect.
Yeah, I mean, after all.
Your name's on the wall.
No, it's not about my name. It's not about that. It's just about having a conversation.
That's right.
Not a shout down that Daryl has to have everywhere. I told you last week. I told you 100 years ago, before any of us were born, that Georgia was going to start beating people down. Okay, we get it. Dave is in Philadelphia. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? Big fan of yours that finally got through.
That's my kind of guy.
Hey, unfortunately, I'm a big Penn State fan, so I don't want to rain on nobody's SEC parade.
Go ahead. You may not get any more chances.
Right. Well, first off, let's just say the white owl puts the orange out to shame, and we'll just leave it at that. All right. I just really want to know, is Penn State skilled position players that far ahead of Auburn? And where do you see them, like, against the other, you know, top teams like Georgia and Alabama?
Dave, I thought they were a very good team. I really did. They played at a very high level. Now, can they beat Ohio State or Michigan? I doubt it, but I think they can have a good season. I definitely do that. Sheila is up next in Alabama. Hello, Sheila.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you. I couldn't wait to talk to you.
Thank you.
Penn State guys. Big Ten, baby. They're a marginal team. They will not beat Ohio State. They will not beat Michigan. Just because you lost, you did well at Auburn, doesn't mean you run nothing in the Big Ten. Just leave it at that. So, Paul, I want to ask you about the Auburn situation. You know, we talked about how Brian Harsin is a great guy. He had a good program where he was. He's come here to SEC. Welcome to the SEC. And it's about to get real. How did he even get here, number one? Take us back to that. And number two, where does Auburn go from here? Like, I was at the game. People walked out before the start of the fourth quarter. We cannot survive like that.
Well, they got here because there was a group of people at Auburn who wanted Malzahn out and wanted to put in Kevin Steele. And the athletic director, Alan Green, did not want that. He wanted to bring in somebody from the outside, which he did.
That's why he's gone.
Yeah, that's why he's gone. That's why Harsin's probably not far behind him. To me, at Auburn, ultimately, Sheila, you need somebody who really understands the culture, who understands the SEC. And I think Brian Harsin could be great at Arizona State or somewhere out west or in the great north northwest. But I just don't think he was ever going to make it at Auburn. He had a shot. He rolled the dice, and it didn't work. And I know consistent. Some people are saying, well, the season's not over yet. Well, in my view, it probably is.
Yeah, well, he's not consistent. And you know what? Darryl, calm down. Let Paul get a word in. But at the end of the day, this guy's – I'm not taking nothing away from Brian. Go west, young man, is what I'm going to tell him.
Sheila, I like the guy. And I think he would be a successful coach at a lot of places in the country. But, I mean, you got to be a – you have to be a serial killer to win in the SEC in some respects. And
That's not him. Last thing I'm going to say, this is what they got to do now, Auburn. If this happens, stop playing around. Pay the person. The right coach.
Sheila, the boys in the smoke-filled room, they already have their designs in on a couple of guys. They know what's going on. They've been down this road many, many times before. Herbie. why is that a funny name, Herbie?
Well, it was the love bug.
Happy Monday, Paul.
Hey, Herbie.
Hey, I was going to ask you what's a going hourly rate for your daycare that you run Monday through Friday.
I am now at the stage where I'm doing it gratis.
Pro bono.
Yeah, it's not fair to take money for this.
Hey, listen, the last caller had it right. They need to go ahead and just have a fire sale, get rid of everybody, start at the top. I bring in an AD who has a little bit of experience, and I mentioned this when I called in. What's Tom Jurich doing right now?
He's been sitting idle
for a while.
I'm not really sure. Wasn't he at Louisville twice?
He was at Louisville for almost 20-some years.
Yeah, I was thinking if Bobby Petrino had won that game the other night against Arkansas, he probably would be back at Louisville next year for the third time.
Well, I thought maybe he could bring Petrino back to Auburn. I think
let me explain this, Herbie. Auburn doesn't want a qualified AD. The boys that run Auburn, they want the model has already been there. They've had a couple of guys in the past. Outside of Alan Green, just look at the previous two athletic directors. That's what they want. They want an Auburn guy who will say, yes, sir, Mr. Rain. Yes, sir, Mr. Louder. Yes, sir, Mr. Harbert. You need some coffee? That's what they want, a guy that will do what they want him to do, not what and by the way, they may be right, considering that Alan Green went out and brought in somebody from Idaho. Auburn has played for a couple of national championships and won one, doing it the old-fashioned way. We'll take a break. John Talty on the Auburn situation right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We are going to talk about a number of subjects, plenty of big games to digest, but let's talk a little bit more about the situation at Auburn. John Talty joining us from AL.com. His column over the weekend suggesting that Lane Kiffin should replace Brian Harsin. John, first of all, just take us through what you think these next few weeks could look like for Brian Harsin. I realize he's got football games to get ready for, and nobody has fired him yet, but it certainly seems inevitable, does it not?
It does, Paul. It feels like more of a when, not an if at this point. And that's something that I think a lot of us saw the writing on the wall even before the season started. You know, we've talked plenty on your show in the past about, you know, the well-publicized coup attempt that was essentially made around last February to get this guy fired. It didn't work. He came back. But, you know, I think even you and I probably talked about it at the time that it was going to be extremely difficult for him to succeed under the circumstances that were in place. And we're starting to see that play out. You know, obviously that loss to Penn State was a brutal one. It was embarrassing. You know, that's pretty much as bad of a showing as they could have had, especially in front of all these high-level recruits that were in the building that Brian Harsin badly needs to convince to come to Auburn, given where they stand right now in the recruiting rankings. And so it's a treacherous path ahead for Brian Harsin. You know, you can, I guess, you know, if you're him, you got to just try to keep plowing ahead. You got to start getting some wins. You got to start doing better on the recruiting trail. That's your path forward at this point. But that feels pretty challenging at best, given where things stand right now. And the fact that, as we've talked about, some very important people wanted him fired last year, and they still want him fired now.
Yeah, well, one last thing on that. If you lay all your cards on the table on a recruiting weekend and it goes flat, forget flat. I mean, it was a disaster. It's hard to imagine turning that around. So the boys in the back room, those who you know well, who you've written about before, and I realize they're not talking publicly, but what do you think they are saying privately?
I think they're thinking about who the next guy is going to be. You know, I think they're thinking about how much is everybody going to have to contribute to make this problem go away. I think that's, you know, I think that those wheels are in some ways already in motion. And I think they've been in motion for a while. I mean, you could argue that the day he was hired, against the wishes of some of those people, the wheels were in motion for him to inevitably get fired. I mean, he's been fighting such an uphill battle from day one because he was not the preferred choice of these people. And, you know, it's, you know, and I think it's already led to Alan Green being gone. We've talked about that in the past too. He very publicly bucked the wishes of these people, hired Brian Harsin with no ties to the South, with no ties to the SEC. And it has played out, I think, pretty predictably poorly, and that he, I think, is, the key is by all accounts a pretty good coach. I think by all accounts he's a pretty good guy, but not the right fit at Auburn, probably from day one, and certainly isn't right now. And so now you're kind of just looking to see when does this end, and who might be the guy to come in after Brian Harsin.
John, I remember back in February, the hot name for a day or two or three was Hugh Freeze. We all know his past. But you suggested today Lane Kiffin, and I've had a lot of friends ask me, do you really think Lane Kiffin would take that job? So I ask you, since you wrote it, give us your best read on Lane Kiffin.
Well, I think both of those two guys, to your point, Paul, I mean, the ones that have been mentioned, will be mentioned the most. And there's a reason why some of these big boosters like those two guys. So what I'll start with is this. The last time there was a coaching search, which ended in Brian Harsin, both Hugh Freeze and Lane Kiffin were essentially non-starters. You know, Hugh Freeze absolutely was not going to get hired at that time. And Lane Kiffin, you know, was interested in that job. I think some people around him expressed interest to Auburn about his, you know, interest, but it didn't go anywhere. Obviously, he didn't get the job. You know, was not seriously considered at that time. So, you know, that's some of the basis for me, is knowing that there was interest last time. Things have changed. You know, Auburn is in a worse position than it was 2+ years ago. Lane Kiffin is in a better position than he was 2 years ago. And so that changes the situation to some extent. But I think he, to me, him and Freeze and some of the other guys, which I'm sure we'll get to at some point, those are some of the obvious names that make sense, that if you're Auburn, if you're making a change, to start with those guys, because I think what we've seen at Auburn is a bend back into what they know. We saw it with the presidential hire, the guy being promoted internally. We'll see what they do AD-wise, but I think most people believe it's going to be someone who understands that world, has some ties to Auburn. And I think with their head coaching hire, it has to be someone who understands the SEC, who understands the South, who understands what it takes to get it done in the SEC. And guys like Kiffin and Freeze are two of them. But as I've noted, they both come with well-publicized baggage, and that will be part of the equation that Auburn has to figure out whether they're okay with accepting that baggage.
John, I understand why Hugh Freeze would leave Liberty. He's got a really good program, but they're beating some ACC teams. They came up a two-point conversion short the other night, but they're really a good program. But Lane Kiffin's not only with a good program right now. They could be a great program. We all know what happened last year. They look equally good this year, even with a different quarterback. So explain Lane Kiffin and what would compel him. This is a guy that turned down Arkansas a couple of years ago. What would compel him to leave Ole Miss for Auburn? And I know you'll cite precedent with Tommy Tuberville doing the same thing, but this is many, many years later.
Yeah, and I don't want all – I actually already have had enough Ole Miss fans yelling at me for writing this column, so I don't want to get even more of them upset about me making this comparison. But look at the track record of Auburn. Look at what they're capable of achieving. They won a national championship, 12 years ago. They were in a national championship game a few years after than that. We know that that is a program that can recruit at extremely high level. They have a lot of resources. There are some very rich benefactors who pour money into the program. I mean, there's just a lot of the advantages that you would want with a program are available at Auburn. Now, of course, the big gorilla in the room is that you're in the same state as Alabama. And that is something that they will always be compared to by their fans, by their boosters. But I think Lane Kiffin is someone who is uniquely qualified to be able to handle that situation. I mean, could you not imagine Lane Kiffin being in the same state as Nick Saban and just poking that bear over and over again? I think he would handle that situation very well in a way that Brian Harsin has not. I think Brian Harsin has not been able to rise to the occasion and the standards that have been established in the state of Alabama. So here's the thing. If you're Lane Kiffin, and to be clear, I have not said that Lane Kiffin will take this job. My argument is that he should be the top guy that Auburn calls when they inevitably make a hire here. But I think if you're Lane Kiffin, what you really have to wonder is, what other jobs can you get? I mentioned there is some well-publicized baggage there. There are guys who are afraid to hire someone like Lane Kiffin. And so you could say, well, he should wait for an even bigger job. He should wait for Alabama or some of these other jobs. Well, you have to ask yourself, can he get those other jobs? Or is Auburn potentially at the highest level of jobs that he's capable of getting? I mean, that's something that you have to figure out if you're Lane Kiffin. And he, of course, employs the biggest agent in the game in Jimmy Sexton. And that's what Jimmy gets paid to do, essentially, is gather that information and guide Lane to what the best possibilities are, whether that's staying at Ole Miss or looking at potential jobs that will come open.
John, we had you on recently talking about your book about Nick Saban. So you know the mindset of Nick Saban extraordinarily well. Let's say Lane Kiffin got that job. Nick Saban's rarely affected by anyone. How do you think he would be affected by Lane Kiffin being his in-state rival?
I mean, I think he'd probably have some interesting comments behind the scenes about Lane Kiffin, as I'm sure he already has. I think he's a state over right now. He has to deal with him a couple times a year. I'm sure he's informed of when Lane stuff says publicly about him. But I think that would be certainly, one of the bigger challenges he's had since he's been at Alabama. Gus was never really that personality. Harsin hasn't been it. Gene Chizik really wasn't. I mean, Lane Kiffin would be one of the bigger personalities he's ever had to face in the state of Alabama. And again, we know that Lane is very good at, call it massaging the media, whether it's his Twitter feed, some of the comments he makes in press conferences. Like, he knows how to get under Nick Saban's skin. He did it for a couple years. And I think that there would be some annoyance for sure on Nick Saban's standpoint, having to deal with, Kiffin in the same state and recruiting against the same kids and all those different things.
As much of an annoyance as Lane Kiffin is, before you go, just your thoughts on how the success of Georgia is playing right now in your state, in Tuscaloosa in particular, because it's people are beginning to look at that program in a different mindset, even with the national championship, but now they look so dominant. How is that playing in Tuscaloosa?
it feels like the new Alabama, right? You know, it feels like he took the recipe that he saw, and by he, I mean Kirby Smart, that he saw at Alabama, and he's building an absolute monster at Georgia. I mean, I think there were so many questions heading into this year, you know, after all the guys they lost to the NFL, you know, how did they find a way to replace them? How did they find a way to keep this thing going? And I've already written it. I mean, this team to me looks even more dominant than the one last year, and that was an absolutely dominant team, as we saw, of course, on their way to a national championship. So this feels like the beginning of a dynasty. I don't mean to go full Mike Griffith here, but this is how it starts. You know, you win a national championship, and then the real question is, how do you build off of that next year? And as it stands right now, I mean, we're only 3 weeks in, but as it stands right now, to me, they're the clear top team in the country. And we all thought that was Alabama to start the year, but to me right now, it is absolutely Georgia. They are the team to beat in the SEC, and they're gonna have, and Alabama's going to have to find a way to beat them. I mean, that's going to be the toughest competition they'll face all year. But first, they have to even get there, and there's some challenges ahead for Alabama's schedule to even potentially play Georgia in an SEC championship game.
We'll have Mike Griffith on Thursday to respond to that just terrible shot that you took at him. And I had to bite my tongue because I had a retort to help your cause, John, but I don't want to put Griff in therapy the rest of the week. John Salty joining us. Thank you, John. Always appreciate it. We'll take a short break. Sometimes I'm starting to show restraint. After the Darryl call, I feel rehabilitated. But, man, did I have a good line about Griff. Thank you, John. John Salty here with us about a lot of interesting stuff. We'll be right back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
A friend of mine just made reference after John Talsey talking about Kiffin, that the real job for Kiffin might be at UCLA. I mean, did you see that train wreck the other day? They had to come from behind to beat South Alabama in front of at least 15 or 20 of Chip Kelly's closest friends at the Rose Bowl. Augie is up next.
Paul, you stole my thunder. I was about to say, did you see what South Alabama almost did to UCLA? Jeezums.
That was amazing. South Alabama has a really good program and an excellent coach, but come on. Chip Kelly, 5 years ago, along with Tom Herman, Justin Fuente, and Scott Frost, were the hottest coaches in the country.
And again, it's UCLA. They should walk out on that field with those uniforms, and that
they're waiting. They're waiting to go to the Big Ten before they start playing football again.
Well, Paul, you know we have to start giving some props to our friend Les Miles. Look what he left at Kansas.
You're
3-0.
Yeah, I don't think he gets enough. And by the way, I thought I was watching Les Miles coach Saturday night. When Mike Leach just went for it every time, he didn't care what the down and distance was. He said, "We're going for it."
I've got to ask you, when are you going to have Mike Leach on to explain his decision making in that game? Because I got to say, LSU played a good game, but boy, State did some really stupid things.
Yeah, there's a little bit of uneasiness in Starkville this afternoon about his play selection.
Yeah, and when you consider Tulane is 3-0, I mean the Greenies are 3-0. What's going on in the world?
You know, I think you listen. I think Brian Kelly has done a good job of coming back, and you can look at it a thousand different ways. He was one play away from being undefeated, but I think the State game was really important for him to move the program forward, and I think they're in a good spot right now.
Well, I think it was a critical game. So with that State game in the West, in the SEC West, look what Southeast Missouri did for a while there.
Yeah,
to Arkansas.
But Augie, remember something about Arkansas. They had two very difficult games. They have an epic game this coming weekend. I think if you're a Vegas handicapper, which I know you are, you could see that train. You could have seen that train wreck coming.
So you're still Arky being the second best team in the West?
I don't know. I think Saturday in Texas is going to decide a lot. The fact that A&M is still breathing is very significant. And I said that last week, but I mean, right now, whatever talking heads say, it has a shelf life of milk on the grocery shelf.
But to quote Huey Lewis in the news, I mean, the old man in A&M is barely breathing, because that was not a great game. And Max Johnson did not, in my opinion, turn him around to the degree people thought he would. What do you say about that?
I was more bewildered by Miami. I thought J.K. told us they were back. They didn't look back to me. We'll take a break. We have a long way to go here on a Monday. We haven't even covered about an eighth of the ground yet. Stick around.